All right, good morning, everybody. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Here we are in our sermon series, Finding Our Way Home. This is our third week. Next week will be our last. We're looking at the different stories that Jesus told when the Pharisees were upset with the fact that Jesus was sitting down with sinners and eating with them. And not having any problem with that. And the Pharisees were accusing him of doing something that is unholy, unrighteous. And so Jesus says these three parables, all centered around the question, if you've lost something valuable, who doesn't go looking for it? Which one of you, if you lost one of your 100 sheep, wouldn't go out and look for it? Which one of you, women, who has 10 coins, if she lost one coin in her house, wouldn't turn everything over until she found it? And then he tells the story of the parable of the prodigal son, in which he demonstrates what would happen if God worked the way the Pharisees were acting. See, in the third story, no one does go looking. The son has to come to his own realization. I mentioned this at the beginning, that I don't believe that this is the story Jesus would have liked to have told. He told it this way because the Pharisees were saying God shouldn't go looking for sinners. And so Jesus tells the story this way, that the son goes out, squanders all of his money, comes to the realization when he's dead broke that he's got nothing better to do than maybe go ask for a job from his dad. But see, Jesus would have rather told the story this way, that the younger brother asks the father for his money, goes off to go spend it on his own, and the older brother comes to the father and says, so now that the wealth has been divided, all of this wealth is yours, but it's also now all mine, I'm willing to take it and spend it at whatever the cost is to go back out and find my brother and tell him, you can come home. You are welcome. We will receive you back. Just come. See, that is the story Jesus would have liked to have told, because that is exactly what Jesus was doing. He came into the world that we messed up to help us with the problems that we create. Even though we are rebellious and wanting to live away from God's rule, away from his authority, although we are terribly lost, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He would have been the righteous older brother who would not have stayed at home and not risked anything to receive his brother back. We know that because Jesus did not stay in heaven. Although he had every right to just sit in heaven and say, this is mine. I don't need to go do anything. I have not done anything wrong. Why should I be punished for anything? Why should I go spend my wealth, my hard-earned inheritance, to go reach the ones who have left of their own will? Instead, Jesus set aside heaven for a time to come down to provide a way for those who are sinners, who are lost, who are valuable to Jesus, to come home. And so today, our third week in this series, we are going to be focusing in on the way. In our scripture reading, we see that Jesus telling his disciples before he is betrayed, before he gets crucified, after he gets crucified, and then he's about to go up into heaven, he tells them, look, I'm going away. I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and you know how to get there. And Thomas is like, all right, well, I might have missed this meeting. I don't know where you're going, and I don't have turn-by-turn directions. So how are we supposed to go where we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there? And Jesus says, no, Thomas, you do know the way, because I'm the way. You know me, therefore you know the way to go back, to go home, to be with God. And they say, okay, so you're giving us a way back to the Father. Can you show us the Father? And Jesus says, you know the Father Because you know me. Everything that you need to know about God, you know because you know me. I am the way back to the Father. Everything that I've done has showed you what the Father is like. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, I've come to accomplish my goal of setting a way for people to return back to God, a way that you lost a long time ago. Jesus being the way is a very important thing for us to grasp. And it's not just knowing Jesus. It's not just liking Jesus. It's not saying positive things about him. It's about following him, about following the path that he says. See, when you understand that Jesus, as our older brother, is actually a much better older brother than the older brother in this parable, we can see just how terrible the older brother was. About the only person in this entire story of the parable of the prodigal son that we don't absolutely hate is the father. But see, Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, "Is like, this is what you think I should have done. I should have stayed in heaven and let you guys figure it out on your own and try and find your own way home." Jesus came out at great cost to himself to show us the way. And so this is the third week we will learn what Jesus tells us about finding our way home. So first, we have a choice to make. We have to decide which way we are going to go. Last week, we all came to the realization that we are all lost in our unique ways. The older brother was lost because he was at home, but he was home wanting to take the home away from the father and rule it himself. But he obeyed, kind of, but with the wrong motivation and with no heart behind it. And he gets mad that the father accepts the younger brother back and says, no, I don't want to be part of this house anymore. The younger brother is a lot easier for us to acknowledge that he was lost because he took everything away from the father and went out to spend it all on his own, do whatever he wants, as far away from home as he can get. And when he's feeding pigs because he's dead broke, and he's like, wow, the pigs eat better than I do. Maybe I should go home and ask for a job because I know my dad takes care of his servants. We all know that we have been lost. Some of us might currently be lost or wandering away from home to seek after our own life, our own house. And knowing that we are lost, we have to decide which way we are to go. We've been confronted with the fact that we don't want to be at home with God. We'd rather go out and do our own thing. So then we have to make a choice. We have to decide which way to go. So first, we can do the easy thing. We can choose to stay where we are. I say it's easy because it doesn't actually require you to do anything. Just keep doing whatever you're doing. Figure out your life on your own. The younger brother could have chosen to do that. He could have said, well, this is where my decisions get me. Maybe in the future I can pick myself up from the bootstraps, make some good investments and do something different. But I'm whatever the story is, I'm not going home. I'm not going to go back there. I ran away on purpose. So I'm going to keep doing this. Although this is demeaning, although this is low-level work, although I'm starving to death, I am not going to return home. I'm going to stay where I am. I'm going to feed pigs for the rest of my life, which might be like 2 weeks, but I'm going to do it. He could have chosen to stay there. He could have chosen to get up and leave that job and go find a different job or go do his own life however else he wanted. It's kind of what the older brother did. He decided to just stay where he was. Although he was near to the father, although he understood a lot about the father, he didn't love like the father loved. And he just stayed where he was. He was content to just be lost, although he was close to the father. He didn't try to do anything different. When the father came out and said, hey, what's going on? Your brother's back. You should be inside partying. And the older brother says, no, I'm not going in there. This son of yours shouldn't even be allowed here. I've always been here. I've always done what you ask. I've slaved my life away for you, and you've never thrown me a party. And so he stayed where he was, out in the field, because he refused to go into the house. We could make that same choice, to stay where we are, to not work towards anything, to not see our need to improve in anything. We could stay where we are, run our lives the way we see fit. Although scripture tells us, like, God doesn't want you to do life this way, we can say, well, yeah, but it's working currently, so I don't know what you think you're doing, God. I'm just going to stay where I am. We can continue to run away from God, away from his rule. We can stay where we are and never say, I need anything. I'll just do life on my own. Unfortunately, many of us have experienced times in our lives where we have chosen to just stay where we are. Some of us will face that decision sometime soon, when we are confronted with the fact that we are not living life according to the way God intends us to, we might be tempted to just stay. To stay where we are and not see anything wrong with it and suffer the consequences and then get mad at God for it. So we could do that. We could be like the older brother and choose to stay where we are. Or what we are going to focus on this week, the second choice, is that we can choose the path of repentance. See, last week I said that it's not very often someone tells you that they would rather you be like the prodigal son than anyone else. Usually the story is told in such a way that you shouldn't be the prodigal. You shouldn't run away. You shouldn't do all these things. You should be a good kid and be with God. And yes, obviously, that is all what we want. But the prodigal saw what he did was wrong and returned. Unlike the older brother, who never thought anything he did was wrong. Everything he did was perfect. And every good work that he ever did was enough for the father to accept him. I'd much rather you be the prodigal son who messes life up, who notices it and repents, than to be the older brother who says that I've got nothing to work on, I've done everything right, I'm perfect, so why are these terrible people all around me getting accepted by God? But the problem is this way, this path back home being repentance is we don't like it. It's awkward. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. It goes against everything that our hearts tell us we ought to think or do. If we're going to choose the path of repentance, we should understand these three lessons. First, repentance requires an honest heart. Look in Luke 15, starting in Verse 14, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. See, the path of repentance starts with your heart being honest about your situation. Now, this few verses of the son coming to himself or coming to his senses or changing his mind don't seem like a lot, but you see in here an honest evaluation of where he is and why he's where he is. He says, this is my plan. This is the speech I'm going to tell my dad when I get home. I've sinned against heaven, against you. I don't deserve to be your son. If you can treat me like a servant, I'll settle. That'd be great for me. And you see in here an honest heart. He doesn't blame anyone else for why he's feeding pigs and starving to death. He doesn't sit there longing for the food of the pigs and say, you know, this is all my dad's fault. Because if he didn't have those ridiculous rules, I wouldn't have run away. If he had not taught me how to invest my money, I wouldn't have spent it all partying and living the life. He doesn't blame his brother, who we all can agree probably has a terrible relationship with him. Says, oh, this is my brother's fault because he's going to inherit the house. I'm not welcome, so I try to go do my own thing. And now it's all crumbled down. He doesn't blame his friends who deserted him that are obviously only around to use him for his money. He doesn't blame anyone except for himself. We have to learn this lesson. If we want to be at home with God, if we want to live the life that God intends for us to live, we have got to learn to tell our hearts to be honest, because our hearts won't tell the truth on their own. Our hearts will tell us, this isn't your fault. It was completely outside of your control. I mean, like, what were you supposed to do in this situation? Our hearts will tell us that it's everyone else's fault, just like we saw in Genesis when Adam and Eve sin, and God comes and they just pass the blame along. That's what our hearts will tell us. But if we want to be at home with God where we belong, we have to tell our hearts to be honest and to call ourselves out on our mistakes. See, it says that he's going to say, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. He knows that his decision to run away from home and to spend all of his dad's fortune disqualifies him. That although he was born into the family, that he has no rightful claim to it. That he, through his actions, said, I don't want to be part of this family anymore. And he understands that he shouldn't be accepted back into the family. That wouldn't make any sense. But he desires to come back as a servant. It's through these actions we learn our next two things. Not only does repentance require an honest heart, repentance requires calling ourselves sinners. Things get awkward now. See, we have a really good, easy time apologizing, saying, I'm sorry that you misunderstood me. I'm sorry that I didn't do what was best in the situation. I'm sorry that, you know, I messed up. But very rarely do we ever say that I sinned. We almost get there when we say we were wrong, which hardly happens as it is. See, if this son had come back and thought that he was going to get back into his family just by waltzing in and saying, hey, I didn't do what was best. My bad. I messed up. We would all look at him and say, what are you, nuts? You did more than wrong. You didn't just not do what was right. You were terrible. You were a sinner. Yet in our relationships with each other and with God, we don't ever like to say that we sinned. See, I think that shows that our hearts aren't being honest. We don't evaluate ourselves and say, well, you know, here I am, away from home, and it's my fault. I'm a sinner because I did exactly what God told me not to do. And so I should return and tell him, hey, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be here, but I've been told that you will welcome me back anyway. We don't like to tell each other that we're sinners, which I think is just ridiculous because we're all sinners. Like, we should start our greetings that way. Hi, my name is Caleb. I'm a sinner. There is a significance that if we want to be on this path of repentance that we have to call ourselves sinners. I mean, I feel at complete liberty to call you sinners, but we have to call ourselves sinners. We have to understand that we've sinned. Now, for a little Christianese lesson, what does that mean? Because in American society, we don't really talk about sin, except for social sins, and some of those sins are sins, and some of those sins aren't sins, and some things that should be social sins aren't sins, so it can get a little bit confusing. So when I tell you that you need to call yourself a sinner, you're like, I don't know what that means. It just means, I mean, like, if you want to call it a little bit even more blunt, you just say, I'm a rebel. We know what that means. It means I don't want to do what I'm told. I'm going to go do my own thing. See, God tells me that, like, I need to tell the truth. But if I tell the truth, the Bible says that we shouldn't gossip, but I really need to tell this story about this person that I'm working with because they're a terrible person. I want to make sure everyone understands how terrible they are and how good I am. See, the Bible tells me not to get angry, but what am I supposed to do? I'm super frustrated. Everything's going against me. Sinning is us disobeying God. And as parents who have ever seen had kids, or as people who have seen people who have kids, we all understand disobedience. And at the heart of it all, sin is disobedience to God, and we're born with it. We're ready to disobey God from the beginning. But we don't like to admit that. We spend the vast majority of our days trying to make people look up to us like we're not sinners. Now, that isn't to say we shouldn't have a heart to not be sinners, a heart to say no to sin and yes to God. But at the end of the day, we should all be able to admit with great ease, I'm a sinner. And I need God. And I want to be at home. And repentance requires us to call ourselves sinners. There is great freedom in admitting that we are sinners because the Bible is written for sinners. Jesus told the Pharisees this time and time again, as he's telling them in this story, the sick need a doctor, the healthy don't. I came to seek and save the lost. I don't need to seek and save people who think they have been found. I've come to help and rescue the unrighteous and to the sinners, and people who are righteous don't need to be rescued. So if you think you're righteous, I'm not here for you. It is very important to teach our hearts and to teach our souls to consider ourselves as sinners, like the prodigal son does, because that puts us on the path of repentance so that we can go back home. The Bible has great hope for sinners. The gospel is for those who have sinned. It is not for those who are perfect. We might have been willing to admit we were sinners before we got saved, but unfortunately our hearts do a double take on us. And after we become Christians and we start sinning, then we don't like to use that word anymore. We don't like to say, oh, I'm a sinner, I've done what is wrong in front of you, God, if you would please forgive me. We come to him and say, yeah, sorry that I blew up at so-and-so. Sorry that I didn't say nice things to this person. But if we want to be on the path of true repentance, it requires an honest heart and calling ourselves sinners. And thirdly, repentance requires returning in submission. See, the son says in his pre-speech before going home, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. The son knew that the path of repentance back home, after having an honest heart, after calling himself a sinner, says this: I'm coming back home in a different role than when I was here the first time. As a son, I had certain rights. I had an inheritance. I squandered that. I made a huge mess of it. And I'm not asking you to give it back to me. I'm just asking for you to allow me to be home as one of your servants. And as a servant, you have no option but to obey. Otherwise, you're going to get cast out on the street. You're going to get fired. As a son, you might get a little, you know, leeway. You might be able to convince your dad to do something else. But as a servant, you're in complete submission and cannot do anything but what the boss tells you. Your life depends on it. And the son says in his speech, I'm going to go home, but I'm not going to go home and ask to be put in the house. I'm going to be asked to just get hired, and I'm going to do whatever I'm told, which is the exact reason he left in the first place, because he didn't want to do what he was told as a son. But he's saying, I will return, and I will obey. I will be just like a servant. For us, if we are to go home to be with God, that is the kind of heart we need to have that says, I will return and I will do what you say. I will return and be put under your rule. Now, I'm coming back so that we can do this all again tomorrow, so that I can argue with you about your rules and your expectations of me. But to return and say, I'm coming back to this place, I'm coming back to you because I believe that living under you in submission is what I need to do. It requires us to return in submission. Now see, this is the other aspect, is that the younger son could have come to this realization that he was a sinner, that he did what was wrong. He could have had an honest heart and said, yeah, this is all my fault and no one else's. But he could have still remained where he was. He could have just said, well, that's what I get. These are the consequences. I'm going to feed pigs. That's the truth of it. And I don't know that many of us would have blamed him for coming to that conclusion. That instead of going home, instead of coming back and saying, I'm a sinner, I've done what is wrong, will you please hire me as a servant? I don't know that many of us would have blamed him for saying, well, this is a disaster of a life because of my choices. These are my consequences, so I will live with them. But we have to return, just like this prodigal son does. He says, this cannot be the best that I could do. This life that I might have ridden the high for a while and now I'm crashing couldn't be the best. I have seen people in my position live better than this. But I have to go home and I have to submit to the authority of my father and live like a servant. Some of us might be able to have an honest evaluation of our circumstances and know that we are sinners. Know that we've done what is wrong, but we don't go back to the Father, to God, and say, God, I'm a sinner, I've done what is wrong, I don't deserve to be part of your family, and yet I've been told you will accept me back. We like to live in this like life of guilt, being like, yeah, I'm a terrible person. And what are you going to do about it? I have this sin struggle I can't defeat, and so I'm just going to sit around in this pigsty and rot away. But this story, although it's not exactly the story Jesus would have liked to have told, tells us that if we take the path of repentance, we can be accepted back home. We'll talk about that reception next week. But we can choose the path of repentance. But it requires an honest heart, it requires calling ourselves sinners, and it requires returning in submission. And we don't like that because we have to humble ourselves. We don't get to march back home and just take over our room and say, hey, I'm back. We're worried that people will see us and say, oh, that's the one who ran away and did what was wrong. See, the path of repentance sometimes is awkward. Sometimes we can make excuses. It's humiliating at times for us to say that we're sinners. But, as you will see if you do the deeper Bible study this week, there are many promises attached to those who are willing to repent. And I would propose that those promises will supersede any excuse that you can make to not repent. Jesus tells a story that this son, even though he did not have a good relationship with the father, even though he didn't like anything the father told him to do, although he ran away from home as far as he could possibly run, that as he was out in that distant country, he knew that the character of his father was one of which he would be at least allowed to come back on the premises and to say, I've done what is wrong. Many fathers would not allow that. Many fathers, if he had come home, would have said, what are you doing here? You're dead to me. But he knew his father wasn't like that. He decided, while he was a long way away from home, that if I come back and I'm honest, I tell him that I'm a sinner, and I confirm that I'm coming back to live in submission, not coming back to ask for more money, I will be allowed to be here. And as he walked home for miles and miles and miles, he had every opportunity to stop and say, this isn't going to work. I'm going to go do this thing for a while. But he was walking back to his father because he knew his father well enough to know that he could return if he was honest. He knew he was a sinner and was coming back to live in submission. And we see that while he's still walking home, he's still rehearsing his speech, the father is looking for him. He sees him from afar, and he runs out to meet him. He doesn't wait for him to get all the way there. He goes out and he gets him, and he falls on his feet, down on his face, and embraces him. And the son says only about half of his speech. Says, Father, I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father says, stop. And he tells his servants, go get everything that a son deserves. Give him a ring, which gives him authority to make decisions on my purchases, on my investments. Give him a robe because he looks like a disaster. He looks like he's been a farmhand and he shouldn't be like that. He is my son. Give him clothes that fit and give him shoes on his feet and then go make a feast because we are going to celebrate. And celebrate what? We'll talk about that a little bit more next week, but he's celebrating because the son has returned. He's not celebrating just because he's happy. He's not celebrating because he's trying to cover it up and make excuses for this younger brother who disappeared and now is back. The father is commanding his household to celebrate because his son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but he's alive again. Heaven and God celebrate with great joy the repentance of sinners. And if we want to be accepted back home, to have a reception like the prodigal son has, we must start with the fact that we have to take the path of repentance, which demands us to be honest with ourselves, call ourselves sinners, and to return in submission. That is the path home, the path towards heaven. And if you are unwilling to take it, you will never reach home again. The way back home is one of consistent repentance of our sins. Daily, for sure weekly, we have got to evaluate our decisions, our attitudes, our words, our beliefs in light of what God has told us. And if you're lacking for material, he kind of gave us this giant book that teaches us tons of lessons about how he expects us to live our lives, yes, even in a broken world. Even with the forces of hell against us, he thinks that we can do these things if we but follow him. And so will you, with an honest heart, call yourself a sinner and come back to God and live a life of submission to a father who loves you, not to some slave master like we've been born into, that we believe is going to lead us to our great life right now of all of this fun, all of this wealth, and all of the things that we can enjoy here and now. But would you return and come home to a father who loves you, who only tells you to do what is right because he knows it is best for you? Will you repent of your sins and come back home? Dear Father, we thank you for this message that Jesus taught us. That if we are honest with ourselves, that we understand that we are sinners, that we are not at home with you where we belong, and that your Son came to be the way, that we can follow him, and because of his death and burial and resurrection, we can know that this path of repentance works, that it can lead us back to you. We pray that if anyone here has not yet done that for the first time in believing that your plan of salvation is what they need to take, that they would seriously consider what you have done in great love by sending your only Son to come rescue us. That maybe for the first time they would come to an understanding that they are sinners, that this is your world and we should live by your rules, and that if we've done what is wrong, we don't deserve to be with you. But through the gift of your Son, we can repent of our sins, come and live in submission to you. We pray that they would make that decision soon. But we pray for those of us who have done that, who do live with you, who constantly leave and come back, leave and come back, that we wouldn't get tired of the path of repentance, that we would understand that this path of repentance gives us the blessings of the gospel. Even though we are saved, even though we know our home is with you for eternity, that this constant reminder of that we are not enough on our own would be a joyous thing, a good thing, a healthy thing for us to consider. That we would trust and believe that you are a father who will love us and accept us back when we come back and say, we have sinned against you. We don't deserve to be welcomed home. Will you please forgive us? That you always will. And not out of obligation, but with great joy. That you accept those who have been lost back home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.